Hi there, folks, and welcome or welcome back to Nippon Trading International's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again, and this podcast is brought to you, among others, by Emil Gorgis of realestate.jp. He's a Tokyo real estate agent who specializes in serving international or mixed nationality families who are looking for the perfect family home. So Emil's an Australian. He's been living here in Japan for over two decades now. And for about half of that time, he's been buying, selling, and managing real estate properties in Tokyo on behalf of his own family and a great many happy clients. And he also acts as a mortgage broker on behalf of his clients. So he's got dedicated loan officers in many of the Japanese mega banks. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you probably already know him from our JREP, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel sessions, which means that you're already aware of the fact that the man is an absolute fountain of wisdom on all things related to real estate in Japan, and in particular to family homes, the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and mortgages. And most importantly, he's incredibly generous with his time and advice, which he's more than happy to provide at no cost or commitment to anyone asking. So if you've been thinking about buying your home in Tokyo, but you've been sitting on the fence for a while, or you just want to have a chat in English with a real expert, drop him a line on sales@realestate.jp. Hit him up today and start exploring your options. All right, so right before we get into today's episode, which is a big one, quick reminder, the Japan Real Estate Summit Spring 2024 is taking place on 6th April, that's Saturday in less than 3 weeks' time, in Tokyo and online via streaming for those of you who can't make it in person. Early bird registration is now open and we're already at 38 registrants. As always, we're going to have limited seating, hopefully more than last year's venues, which could only fit about 80 people and were fully packed, but probably not more than 100 or 120. And if past events are any indication, registration will escalate quickly as we near the date. So get in there today. If you haven't yet, hop over to our website, nippontradings.com. That's N-I-P-P-O-N, nipontradings with an S, all one word, .com. And register for your discounted ticket today, live or online, to make sure that you can attend Japan's biggest, most popular, and most informative English real estate conference. And exciting, at least one exciting new speaker, Joey Stockermans, co-founder of AkiyaMart, the exciting new platform for English language property search in Japan, which many of you are already subscribed to, and for very good reason, is joining our speakers panel. And he'll be sharing some very interesting insights that they've gained from the platform since its launch regarding locations, prices, types of properties that are available and popular for purchase nationwide. A real data-driven analysis of the market here, which you don't want to miss out on. We still have one potential surprise speaker that we may announce shortly, so watch this space. And of course, the usual suspects, Tracy Northcott, Blanca Kobayashi, Anton Warman, Emil Gorgis, and myself, with the real stars of the day being you, of course, property enthusiasts, owners, investors, business owners, all of us with a passion for Japan's real estate property market, which makes this event the best networking opportunity for all of you as well. Whether you're in the room or in the streaming room chat channel, we're finalizing the venue in a day or two, which is when ticket sales will go live and the early bird discount will end. So now's the time to secure it if you know you'll be attending. All right, so for today's episode, and this one is the one I know that many of you have been waiting for and has been a long time coming, our annual market summary for 2023 and projections for this year, 2024. We're already almost at the end of the first quarter of the year, so good timing. And what we always do in this summary is look at macro trends, but also sector by sector analysis, and try to see what exactly has been happening in the market, as well as try to project or at least have an educated guess or two as to what the current year will bring. Now, when I say we, we're no global movers and shakers ourselves here at NTI. As you probably know, we serve mainly individual and corporate cash buyers, whether holiday home shoppers, investors, or others. And that obviously means that the purchase prices that we deal in aren't exactly groundbreaking, industry-shaping transactions. What we do for the purpose of this report every year is review and summarize annual statistics and reports by industry leaders who deal in much larger transactions like REITs, real estate investment trust purchases, large commercial purchases by institutional investors and funds, corporate transactions and such. So really, we stand on the shoulders of giants, and this year is no different. The data in this summary comes from annual reports by CBRE, Japan Property Central, Savills, PricewaterhouseCoopers, and the Urban Land Institute, to mention only a few. all extremely useful publications that are extremely recommended as well for anyone who wants to dig in deeper into any of the information that we'll be presenting here. Okay, so how did Japan's property market do overall this year? Firstly, on the investment front, domestic investors have been super active on the tail end of the pandemic shutdowns, and total investment has gone up about 27% year on year nationally, even though investment from overseas has gone down about 17%. Things are expected to quiet down a bit this year, though, mainly due to concerns about potential policy shifts by the Bank of Japan, which could see long-term interest rates increasing and investment yields decreasing as a result. Having said all of that, increasingly and interestingly enough, Japan is actually one of the only markets in the Asia-Pacific region that was on any foreign investors' radar, according to surveys, mainly due to its stubbornly low interest rates as of this date, and as always, its stability. So those are the two reasons that come up time and time again as the main draws of the market, and this year was no different. On top of it all, the current US dollar to Japanese yen exchange rate and the belief that these will potentially reverse in the next few quarters resulted not only in far cheaper purchase prices throughout 2023, but also in the expectation for potentially massive yields for anyone who's bought in at the bottom of the exchange rate cycle. And obviously that served to attract far more foreign investment into the country than other destinations in the region have seen. Now, prices in general have gone up almost 98% of all locations surveyed around the country, which is a historical record. And no locations have actually decreased in price, which considers Japan's historical post-90s bubble slump and deflationary lost decades. This is actually nothing short of remarkable, even more so coming so close on the heels of the pandemic. Even regional and rural locations have increased overall for the first time in about 31 years. And Tokyo has continued to rise for the 11th consecutive year. So bravo, Japan. This has been a long time coming, and not having a crystal ball on us, as always, all we can do is hope that this trend sticks. Now, yields for commercial properties have already been and remained quite low this year as well, especially in Tokyo, which is always the case. Tokyo is also the market where most institutional investors are most active in. So if yields shrink further there because of monetary policy shifts, that's very likely to tone things down a bit in 2024. In the hospitality sector specifically, which is one of the biggest stars of 2023, showing a super quick recovery with the return of tourism, asset prices are rising even faster than in other sectors, which makes yields on hotels even lower than they used to be. But demand is still very strong for good hotels in major locations, so that particular sector, as we'll cover in a bit, isn't likely to be slowing down, at least not due to lack of demand. Now, on the offices front, demand for offices has now shifted to cheaper office buildings. New buildings are actually finding it difficult to source tenants due to the much higher rents and a declining interest from overseas companies who aren't nearly as interested in these prime headquarters facilities as they used to be pre-pandemic. In this sector, like others last year, domestic investors are a lot more active than foreign ones. New office supply slotted for 2024 will also apply pressure on rents for these prime properties, and that makes future yields seem even lower than they already are, and that's not very high at all. Now, this added supply, which is about 40% higher than the previous annual average, is going to continue into 2025 as well, based on construction completion scheduled. And that's probably going to cause even lower rents and higher vacancies, particularly in Fukuoka, Yokohama, and Osaka. Kyoto and Kobe seem to be a bit more stable in this supply and demand cycle, so probably won't be affected as much. And they might even see some small rent hikes for offices as a result. Now, REITs, though, and more specifically Japanese REITs, Japanese Real Estate Investment Trusts, are still as active as ever in this office space. About a third of their transactions in 2023 were of office buildings, followed closely by logistics facilities, with hotels and retail properties trailing a bit behind at 20 and 13% respectively. Now, interestingly enough, while medium-sized office buildings do draw the most attention and make up for the largest portion of the market, the focus is still on new medium-sized office buildings, mainly because of post-pandemic shifts in working style. So communal lounges, private booths for online meetings, those are now the norm, and they're hard to find or repurpose in older builds. Newer floor plans as well make it a lot easier to divide spaces and allow for splitting floors into multiple small and medium-sized offices. And that offers more flexibility, can be rented out to smaller companies. And all of these features combined are becoming more and more popular with landlords, leading for the huge demand for new builds. Next is the retail sector. One of the other biggest victims of the pandemic, aside from hospitality, the retail sector made a spectacular recovery this year. Rents went up almost 8%, which took them back to pre-pandemic levels, returning as the sector recovers, which is spectacular. In the logistics sector as well, demand kept increasing nationwide, mainly because of new legislation coming in this year, which is going to limit working hours for truck drivers. So logistics facilities that can actually hold and distribute goods to consumers and B2B are becoming more and more and more popular, and far higher demand for those. Good call City Hall with the truck driver limitation on overwork, but new supply of logistics assets is also going to be hitting the market soon, and that probably means that vacancy range won't change that much. Hospitality sector, again, the success story of the post-pandemic era, is in sharp demand in Japan, to the point where about half of all sector transactions last year took place in Japan in the third quarter, once it was crystal clear that tourism is back with a vengeance. Now, rising construction costs, which are up about 20% year on year, have put a hold on many hotel development projects which were scheduled, and that probably means that new supply will dwindle in the next year or two, and that will, of course, further increase asset prices, and they've already been rising in this sector significantly as well, particularly on the higher end, luxury accommodation assets front, as opposed to budget and business hotel, which make for the majority of supply in the market. Room prices as well have been consistently rising since the end of the pandemic border closures in most major holiday and tourism spots around the country, the only exceptions being Hakone and Naha, which have seen some slight drops. The sharp decline, again, in the value of the yen has enabled operators to increase their room rates while still remaining quite attractive to tourists, and that's a trend that's also likely to continue. Also due to labor shortages in the industry, which are further putting a pressure on room prices. Now, tourists have now been spending an average of 50% more on accommodation expenses than they have pre-pandemic, and foreign investment in the sector has increased significantly in the past year as well, although it's still a lot lower than 2019 pre-pandemic levels. Now, the integrated resort, the entertainment and casino complex in Osaka that's scheduled to open in 2030, is also drawing plenty of domestic and international attention from would-be investors who are interested in all of the peripherals that could be leveraged in and around the site itself. And finally, high-end ryokans, or traditional inns, in and around onsen, natural hot spring resorts, are doing very, very well, a lot better than the lower end of this market, which has been struggling for the last couple of decades. And with ever-increasing interest and demand from well-off tourists who are in for the full Japanese experience that these facilities can offer, that particular segment of the market is considered to be very ripe with opportunity at the moment, and increasingly so. Now, in terms of corporate policy, just to go a bit macro again, Japan's going through a lot of a bit of a renaissance, which also helped increase confidence in investing here. Some pay rises, diversity initiatives, share buybacks, general atmosphere of progressiveness and openness, at least compared to the Japan of old, does seem to be changing here, and that reflected in even more capital pouring into the country compared with other regional destinations, and also with stock share price hikes and a general increase in efficiency, positive atmosphere, expectation of more wage growth, which naturally translates into the potential for rent increases as well. Confidence is in fact so high that PricewaterhouseCoopers survey of preferred city destinations in Asia Pacific for investment in 2024 actually featured Tokyo and Osaka in the first and third places, which is quite impressive. Now, on the residential front, there's a general preference for multifamily residential building assets, which reflects the lingering demand for larger floor plans that allow for remote work, home offices, which is now the norm. There also seems to be the potential for rental growth, which we haven't seen here for a long, long time. Increases of 1 to 1.5% are expected in 2024. And while that is pretty modest considering the far higher asset price growth and shrinking yields, That's still something that hasn't happened here for quite some time. Specifically, and again, as a result of the higher percentage of remote work, which is now far more common even after the pandemic, this resulted in larger apartment rents displaying a sharper increase than smaller studio single room types through the second half of last year. Now, this trend of moving away from city centers during the pandemic hasn't stuck. So 2023 did see many residential households returning to central metropolitan areas, which are, of course, notoriously short on larger units and home office enabling kind of layouts. And that's increased prices for these types of properties even more, especially in Tokyo's central 23 wards. Now, developers have taken note and they are working hard on constructing plenty more of these larger floor plan type family apartments. And interestingly enough, some are considering to now switch from build and resell, which is normally their mode of operation, to actually build and hold for rental income, due to this belief that rents would finally be inching upwards and making this more of a viable strategy than it's been in the past couple of decades. Japanese REITs, real estate investment trusts, as well, have reported that while rent prices have continued to remain stable for or potentially drop across their single-tenant residential apartment portfolios, with occupancy rates slightly dropping as well, family-sized apartments have remained steady or slightly increased in rents and occupancy. What else? Alternative asset classes, as far as those go, data centers are still doing very well in Japan, but still require specialized operating expertise, of course, so they're therefore not really on the radar of most investors. Similarly, senior housing facilities remain mostly the domains of investment funds, REITs, other funds that specialize in their operations, and student housing, which is a popular but unusual market in a country with so many tiny studio units available in most cities for pretty low rent prices. So student apartments tend to be focused on master lease slash sublease types of arrangements, where an operator rents a larger property from a landlord and then subdivides it into individual smaller accommodation units. Again, specialized field, which not many run-of-the-mill investors are active in. Lastly, high-grade furnished and serviced apartments for shorter and medium-term stays, not exactly an alternative asset class anymore, but increasing in popularity as well, particularly across Tokyo, where there's high demand for those driven mainly by international guests. So yes, all in all, a very interesting year with very interesting developments, decades-long historical shifts even in quite a few sectors of the market overall, and a very impressive recovery from a very tough few last years. Looking forward to seeing what 2024 and 2025 will bring. Now, watch the space, we'll be reporting. Huge thanks again to all of the hardworking writers and editors and researchers who have provided the source material for this very short summary. The amount of information that they've collected and analyzed, summarized and shared all of these industry giants have been very impressive and useful to smaller players like ourselves. And we at NTI are grateful for the comprehensive work that they've put into these annual reports, as they do every year. And once again, last time before tickets go live, hopefully within the next few days, now's the absolute last chance for you to secure your early bird discount for the April 6th, 2024 Japan Real Estate Summit in Tokyo, in person or live via streaming. Hop over to nippontradings.com and register for those discounted tickets today. We hope to see you all with us in a couple of weeks' time at everyone's favorite biannual Japan Real Estate Property Conference. Now, before we go, we're also, as always, going to tell you and also link to our other sponsor's website. That's Hiroshi Shimizu, immigration lawyer and administrative scrivener. If you're thinking about moving here on a more permanent basis, or you're already in Japan on some sort of a temporary visa, and you want to switch to a longer term or permanent one, or if you're considering setting up a local company or a branch office of a foreign company, and you've got any sort of business or visa-related inquiries, or even if you just want to find out what your options are on any of these topics, feel free to contact Hiroshi Shimizu. You can find him at japanimmigrationexperts.com. And he can help you set up a company, apply for any kind of visa, or just provide you with the best advice and extremely affordable consultation related to these topics. And he's already done that for many of our listeners. So feel free to reach out to him. Again, that's japanimmigrationexperts.com, and you'll be well on your way. And that's it from us for today, folks. Hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Japan Real Estate Podcast. Do share it with your networks, and please let us know what you think. So leave us a short rating or review on the iTunes store, on Spotify, or just drop us a line in the comment section of wherever you might have found this episode. We love hearing from you. Hope to have you with us again next time, and until then, have a great day or night ahead. Yoroshiku.